Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. You may want to turn to Hebrews 11 and Ephesians chapter 6, but at least 1 Peter chapter 5. A veteran is someone who is experienced, someone that is practiced, someone that is seasoned, a veteran. On your church calendar, November 11th is designated in the U.S. as Veterans Day. In Canada and the United Kingdom, it is designated Remembrance Day. Remembrance. On Sunday, November the 11th, 2007, the following veterans were in attendance. Elmer Kochenauer, George Farmer, Greg Grove, Ron Hamden, Pastor Ted Madonna, Forrest Schultes, Dennis Smith, and Robert Stafford. We had nine on that particular Sunday, which was Veterans Day. Of course, what we need in the church are veterans also, those who were willing to stand no matter the cost. Would you take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we find here an admonition to be on guard. And Lord, may we as believers be on guard, because we will look at our adversary in a moment and realize that he is indeed our enemy. We ask, Lord, for strength in this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Let me ask you a question. True or false? Were the founding fathers Bible believers? The majority of them were Bible believers. Do you think that's one of our problems in our government today, is too many of our politicians are not Bible believers? That have actually no idea what the Bible has to say? Unfortunately, I believe that to be very true. But our spiritual enemy, the devil, is our adversary. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Which deceiveth the whole world. Now, I've had the privilege of going not only to the Creation Museum that's in Kentucky, but I've also now been able to visit the one in Dallas, Texas. And the one in Dallas, Texas has the serpent standing on 2 feet, and as you walk by him, he laughs at you. Because I believe that's what our adversary does. He laughs at us. Our adversary is our enemy, our opponent, our antagonist. And never forget that. That in this battle that we are in, this spiritual battle, we are up against the most powerful of angels. And he took with him a third of the angels from heaven who are doing his bidding. And I could tell you without fear of contradiction that one of his enemies is even here with us tonight. Because I think wherever the word of God is proclaimed, Satan's adversaries come also to try to deceive and to direct us in other ways. He is opposed to every holy resolution. He is opposed to every good work. He is opposed to every heaven-born desire. He is evil itself. He is subtle. He is subtle. Just ask Eve. He is a tempter. He was not even afraid to tempt Jesus. He's a tempter. Now, all of us are tempted by certain things. I'll be honest with you, I enjoy a good chocolate chip cookie. But I must admit, not all chocolate chip cookies are created the same. Would you agree that some chocolate chip cookies, number one, lack enough chocolate chips? Yes. Some, unfortunately, may have enough chocolate chips, but they were baked too long. Isn't that always a problem? Yes. In fact, I think chocolate chip cookies should be underbaked instead of overbaked. Can I hear an amen on that? I tell you what, I like a good chocolate chip cookie. But there are times in which I should say enough is enough. So why am I tempted to eat more than I should? You know, we all have our weaknesses. Satan knows your weakness. He knows. See, he knows because he sees you flinch. He knows because he has seen us go down the road that we know we shouldn't travel. And so he brings up that temptation over and over and over again. He is a deceiver, for he is the father of liars, and the truth is not in him. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. His purpose is to steal. He snatches away the word of life from the heart. When the seed is sown, he comes in quickly and tries to disrupt whatever is being told about the word of God. He snatches away the peace that only the Lord can give. See, he gives us his peace. Not as the world gives. And Satan's desire is to come in and snatch that peace. And he encourages us to find peace in the world of materialism, immorality, etc. Oh, he's good at what he does. I talked to Donna a while back and I said, I wonder what it's like to be the best at something. Have you ever wished you could be the best at something? Something good, okay? Yes. But most of us will never be the best at something, can we? We struggle. Well, he tries to make us feel guilty about our sins. He tries to tell us we're not good enough. And in our own standing, we're not. So he tries to rip away our peace of mind. He pollutes our society, our lives, our churches, our marriages. He pollutes our society. He suggests. That's dangerous, isn't it? He suggests. John 13:2 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." He suggests, can Satan physically make you do something wrong? He can't. But he suggests all the time, doesn't he? He suggests. He says, go ahead. Nobody's going to notice. Nobody cares. He suggests. He sifts. He sifts. As we saw in Sunday's message concerning Peter, he alters the truth. He sifts. He devours. We read it here that he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His desire is to destroy Christians. His desire is to destroy the followers of Jesus Christ. His desire is to make us feel we don't need the Word of God. You're good enough without it. I mean, after all, it's 2020 and the Bible was written for another time. But the fact of the matter is it was written for today. Today. He tricks. He tricks. Take your Bible and quickly turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You have here the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And he realizes what they are doing. And he tricks them into thinking that they can lie and get away with it. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" He tricks. Has he ever tricked you? Has he ever made you think that you deserve better than what we deserve? Has he ever tricked us into thinking that you should get away with something? He tricks people all the time. What we need are men and women who will resist the devil. What we need are men and women who will resist the devil. James 4:7-8. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Let me ask you the question. Can you be victorious? Can you? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11. See, there are men and women down through the years that have stood strong for the Lord Jehovah. They have stood strong for Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. Notice verse 4, Hebrews 11:4. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." What a wonderful testimony. He was what? He was righteous. "God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Folks, Abel was able to stand for the Lord, and we can too. Notice, if you would, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Abel was righteous. Enoch pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can be righteous, and we can please God, but we must resist the devil. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was righteous. He lived in a vulgar, cruel, violent world. And he remained strong. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed. Verses 24 through 26, if you would please. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As a young man, as a teenager, he knew what was right. He knew what was right. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You think verse 25 stands out in our world today? That he was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Men that were willing to make a stand. As we continue, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Sometimes faith requires just a few minutes of time so that it gets us past the hurdle, that gets us past that difficult time. But sometimes it's day after day after day after day. 7 days they went around this city. How much were they talking? They weren't. They weren't talking. Yet by faith they went around that city 7 days. Verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They stood strong. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, it says in verse 10, be what? Be strong. I think that was one of the answers to Pastor Stephen's question and during the songs. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we couldn't do it, we wouldn't be asked to do it. But we can do it. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. The one that goes about seeking to devour us. Put on the whole armor of God. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God for our life compared to some in this world that do not have a Bible. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Stand. In conclusion, I have some thoughts from the song by Steve Green, Find Us Faithful. We're pilgrims on the journey of the straight and narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and as our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind find us faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we were able to give tonight. We ask, Lord, now that we could remain strong in the faith, so that we could hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.